This podcast is sponsored by the Marching Roundtable Judges Academy, found at judgesacademy.com. On this podcast, we continue our conversation about fitness, bodybuilding, and band directors, including a special conversation with composer Robert W. Smith about his history in the gym as a bodybuilder and how that impacted his life and work.
And after a great workout session, you know, I feel cleansed. I was a better writer after that. I was a better creator. I was a better person.
We talk about how a commitment to exercise and fitness has a direct impact on one's ability to teach and motivate students.
I never consider myself a great band director, but I consider myself someone who knows how to connect. And it connects me to the students on a different level. And in return, they start producing more as a musician because they understand that I'm taking an interest in something else other than waving my arms in front of them.
And we share concrete advice that you can use to get your own exercise program started.
If there's any band director that, you know, they listen to this and they're like, well, how do I get started? It's like, do what you do best. Be resourceful. Find the literature. Find apps. Follow something. Find a program that fits you and get started.
Be a better educator through fitness. Now on the Marching Roundtable. This podcast is sponsored by the Marching Roundtable Judges Academy, found at judgesacademy.com. Dr. Joe Allison, one of the marching arts' most respected and experienced judges, has brought his expertise, together with Tim Hinton from the Marching Roundtable, to create an innovative new series of online courses offering judges training and assessment education for everyone interested in the marching arts. The online course allows each student to progress at their own pace, while being paired with a mentor who's a top judge in our activity. The course is for aspiring judges or for active judges to improve their skills and expertise. But there's also valuable information here to benefit designers, directors, instructors, and spectators. Find out more at judgesacademy.com. Before we return to our conversation from the last podcast, we wanted to share part of our interview with composer Robert W. Smith. When we talked with him, I asked him about being in the gym and how that had impacted his life and career.
Actually, before you go totally off the subject, I wanted to ask you, I'm like a gym rat, and you have a history of working out and bodybuilding and stuff, right?
Yeah. Earlier part of my life, first half of my life, I spent more time in the gym than I did anywhere else, I think. If I wasn't in front of the piano or writing, I was in the gym, yes.
Do you want to speak to that at all? We're actually, believe it or not, I'm doing a podcast about directors and going to the gym and how that makes your life better or makes you able to get through the school day. do you want to give me a quote for that podcast at all around that, since that is something that was part of your history?
Well, you know, it was such an important part of my life. And then career got in the way, and literally about late 20s, 27, 28, you know, from there, all of a sudden I couldn't quite get into the gym anymore. And, so it was interesting, you know, the muscle mass is still here, but boy, did I add the extra pounds. And I always joked, I said, one day I can't wait to where I can afford, to get back into the gym. Well, you're catching me at a great time because that time is now. So I am recommitted it because I actually love it. There's a nirvana about it. Right. There is when you get into that zone and you're lifting and you're back in days. I'm in the pumping iron days. You have to be a Arnold Schwarzenegger fan to know what pumping iron is. I'm sure, Tim, you know what I'm talking about.
Sure. Yeah.
Zone there. There's a mental and physical, a metaphysical state that comes from that. And after a great workout session, you know, I feel cleansed. I was a better writer after that. I was a better creator. I was a better person. And, I have hit this time in my life where I'm heading back to the gym with great vigor. So, when I see you, Tim, hopefully we'll be able to, I'll be maybe a shadow of my former self. Yeah.
Wow. That's exciting, Robert.
Well, I look forward to meeting you in person soon. And, that's awesome. And congratulations for getting back in the gym full out. And, that's awesome. Thank you so much for, indulging me with that short detour. But I just had to mention it because that's one of the things that I have to say as a gym guy makes me, honor you all the more as a composer that you
and
have
it
that
still in. Doesn't get you off the hook for the trombones and sousaphones.
You're just not ever going to let that go, are you?
And now we return to our conversation with Ian Ferris, Tyler Myers, and Matt McAllister.
So, Matt, we were talking about everybody's workout, and I didn't ask you yours. You just want to quickly tell us, like, what's your typical? You don't have to give me everything.
I've done a number of different things. It depends on what time of year. You know, living in Florida, there's a pool party anywhere between February and November, so you don't have the time to put on a sweater and eat as much as you want.
There's pool parties in December and January. Yeah, right, come on.
So, I normally take a lot of the winter very lightly. November through maybe January, February, I really kind of lighten up because I kind of get burnt out from doing it as much as I do. And I travel a lot. I like to go skiing and I travel home to see family. And, you know, I'm up in Philadelphia for 3 weeks.
Well, let's just say it has to be cyclical, just like
yeah,
was
it really
saying.
Does.
You can't go.
And then somewhere I'll start lifting again in February heavily, and then around April I will start shifting over to more cardio oriented or more of a like a fat burning kind of thing.
Shred up for the summer.
I can never really shred, but I can put into a better shape. I've never been one to get lean, but it helps to put it I think in a better place if I do that. So I've done like boot camps and those kinds of things, and for me I've honestly found them to be helpful. I liked the discipline they imposed on me in terms of getting up at a certain time and the accountability of other people in the room. I may be different from Ian and Tyler in that I will go soft on myself if I'm alone at the gym, and I will take an extra 5 minutes off if I'm not feeling it that day.
Yeah, but they were describing that because of the time constraints of their life and their job. So
I don't even have that excuse. I'm just lazy sometimes.
That's not what I mean.
No, that's what I mean. But I do mean that. I mean that. And I found that that's...
Come on. If you don't have a baby at home and you only have 5 minutes to train, you can take a little bit of a more leisurely workout. Yeah. Come on. Give yourself a break.
But what I mean is that I won't do a full workout sometimes. Sometimes I just don't feel it. I'm like, well, that's enough for today, and I'll go home. So I don't want to become sick of it. Right, I don't want to become burnout, which I've found I can do sometimes if I keep doing this. Variety really seems to be important to me, and after, you know, I've been lifting for about 14 or 15 years now, so it, you know, you really do need to. I've learned really do need to mix it up, or it becomes a little monotonous. So I'm looking for different things. I think I'm going to give CrossFit a try. Have either of you guys tried this, or are you afraid of all of this press it's getting for injury?
I tried one out before. I don't have the money for it right now. I've thought about doing it. I kind of done my own reading on it. You know, you read like some of the guys that used to be connected to it, you know, like Mark Ripto and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, they kind of get pretty down on it. But one thing I always kind of find is that, you know, the one message they kind of put out there is that, you know, it just kind of depends on the box you go to. I went and visited one that's kind of close to me that's on the way to, you know, work. And, you know, the people running it, the trainers, you know, also had personal training certifications, and they were like, they were college athletes as well at one time. And,
okay.
You know, I found the time that I went to try a free class, they spent time working on specific movement. The big one was front squat and the front rack. And they really took time to explain it well and go over the technique before you did any kind of wad with it. So I think it's kind of like anything out there. There's some really crappy ones because of the business model.
Right.
But if you really look, you can find some that really have quality instruction. I think just with anything, you have to listen to your body. You know, are your joints hurting you? You know, are is your form poor? You know, if so, then take a step back. Don't let them push you into, you know, completing the wad at a wrong weight or wrong form.
Right. Ian, what do you think?
I ended up hurting myself because the instructors were just go do this. And I had gone for various reasons. One of the reasons was I really wanted to work on the clean and press. Mm-hmm. And they're like, just do it like this. But there wasn't a breakdown, and the breakdown down is what I really needed at the time. However, I have some female friends who go, and it is the best thing that's ever happened to them. They've lost 80 to 100 pounds.
Wow.
And they absolutely love it and will live and die by CrossFit. So
yeah, it's almost like a cult. I do notice that.
Yes.
I made a joke about one of my friends that, you know, the first rule of CrossFit is the only thing you can talk about is CrossFit. It's like the opposite of Fight Club.
Exactly right. You know? Yeah, I told her when she told me she was doing it, I said, oh, so you're in the cult now,
yeah,
aren't you?
Really?
And she goes, yes, I am in the cult.
Well, it is. I think it's worth it. So that's going to be my next thing. I'm going to give that a shot. I'm going to have to do them.
Just find an instructor.
Yeah.
We'll take the time. My concern with CrossFit is exactly what Ian was, or Tyler, one of them was saying, is that they don't, there are instructors out there who aren't going to teach you the right form. They just tell you to do it. And then you're going to get hurt.
Right.
I know a lot of people that have gotten hurt.
Yeah,
so you need to, if you go to a place and they don't give you really clear, careful instruction and watch you when you're first learning something, mm-hmm. then you need to flee.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yes.
And I want to give me your money and
but there are good ones out there. So it's really true. You just got to do some research. Don't just show up and start throwing a tire around.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
This is what people do.
Yes.
Okay. So, we want to get around to talking about how this impacts us and our students, but I have one more question. I want to ask everybody when they started training, whatever it is that you're doing. So, Ian, when did you first start get involved in weight training or bodybuilding or whatever?
I first started when I was 24. I joined a Gold's Gym in Cornelius, North Carolina, when I was teaching in Mooresville. And I basically what I did was just machine movements, and then I started getting serious about it probably when I started at the high school. So when I was about 27 years old. Yeah.
And what was your motivation to begin in the first place?
I saw myself getting out of shape. I felt myself getting very lethargic, and I actually had a huge bout with mono because, I had bought a fitness book and I did the workouts, but I didn't do the nutrition part. So I completely broke my body down. Ended up weighing about 135 pounds at my height, which was just, I looked absolutely sickly. And so I went to the Golds and I said, okay, this is what happened. What can you do to help me? I got up with a trainer and they helped me to create a healthier lifestyle, basically. So, yeah.
Yeah, great story. How about you, Tyler? When did you start?
I think I'd always kind of like off and on. Like I was never really serious about it till – really, I mean, I think I got serious towards the end of college because I made it kind of my evening routine. I'm a kind of person that has to have routines. I have ADHD. I own it.
Yeah.
I take medicine, you know, and part of my medicine is my exercise. But in college, like when I was really getting serious towards the end, I was serious the entire time. But, you know, when I really wanted a routine. I got really serious about going to the gym. I was in at about 7 or 8 o'clock at night. I'd be in there for an hour, and then I'd go to the practice room from like, you know, 9 to midnight, whatever I wanted, whatever times I needed to, you know, get work in. So I did that, and you know, it's one of those things, just like anything else. You know, I research and you know, I study stuff. I've worked with trainers before, so I've just gotten more serious over time. I'm also in the Army Reserves. I'm a musician in the Army Reserves with the 100th Army Band over at Fort Knox, and part of you know. Part of any kind of military career is the physical training aspect of it. So it kind of got started because of that, because I wanted to keep my scores high and you know everything from there. Now it's just become, you know, it's just because I really enjoy it. You know, I don't really think about because I have to take a test.
Yeah, it's part of your life now. How about you, Matt? When did you start?
I guess I was 25 or 20, probably 26. Yeah, I just moved down to Florida. I'd been down here 2 years, and I was a high school band director down at Cocoa Beach, and it became a necessity, the demands of the job, as of course these guys know. And if you're not in good shape, if you're physically unhealthy, you can't do it. Right. And if you try to do it, your life is hell. So it became really about that. I was getting very, very, heavy, very overweight, and incredibly lethargic, and you can't put together and build a high school band program if you don't feel good.
Right.
You really have to work very hard. And so it really was that. And it was like just one day I looked in the mirror and said, oh, you know, what am I going to do? And I just got over the intimidation that I knew I would face and just said, well, everyone's got to start. So I went to the gym and, that was the thing that I think that stopped me all those years was I was afraid of whatever, you know, this sort of in your mind, you have this, you know, 80s teen movie idea, like I was going to be a John Hughes villain and make fun of you.
Hey, that's the whole business model of Planet Fitness.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go in there and it was fine. And once I got over that and, you know, I think maybe within 3 or 4 weeks I started to see something and that was it. I just said, all right, this is great. And when that first happens, it really took hold of me anyway. It was very profound that I wouldn't go back. And that gave me such motivation to continue to go and to dedicate more time to going, which meant less time, you know, either drinking or laying on the couch or whatever I was doing before. So it worked well for me.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's what I've been doing it pretty much ever since, you know, yeah. Barring injuries.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, just for what it's worth, I started when I was 15. Because I was always a scrawny kid and I hated that. And I wanted to look like a bodybuilder. Mm. I'm still trying to get there after all these years. Which for me, I have to admit, it's almost 40 years now. But I got my first weight set, my Weider weight set with my little Weider poster when I was back in the day. But I want to say the same thing. You guys both mentioned this, which is that I really started making real progress when I hired a trainer. And I said, I want to get serious. I'm going to invest in this. I hired a trainer. You know what? He taught me how to eat.
That was
the thing. I was eating terribly. Looking back on it, I don't know how I had an ounce of muscle in my body, man. I was eating so bad. And once I learned, oh, this is protein, this is carbs, this is a steak, you know, like I started eating right and my body really responded to that and learning better ways to work out too. So anyway, anybody that's thinking about getting serious, that's actually still listening. That's something you might want to consider is, get some really good instruction. It's the same thing that Tyler was saying too about the CrossFit. You got to find somebody that really knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And spend a few dollars. Or find a great friend. I have a great workout partner now.
Right. Someone that inspires you. Yeah. I mean, like all of us had a musician in our life that inspired us, right? Yeah. Find someone that does that physically. That would really make a difference.
Yeah. And so I'm sure that these guys are inspiring their kids too, obviously.
Absolutely. I'm sure.
Okay. So let's talk about the nuts and bolts of how this impacts your job. So Ian, you're at school. How does working out, being physically fit, and spending the time in the gym, how does it make you a better band director?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of – and I talked about this a lot in my Teacher of the Year interview. A lot of what I do is – I never considered myself a great band director, but I consider myself someone who knows how to connect. And it connects me to the students on a different level. And in return, they start producing more as a musician because they understand that I'm taking an interest in something else other than waving my arms in front of them, you know? And I think that helps out a lot. The other thing is I'm able to get to school every day. I'm able to, you know, to be in front of the students. During marching band, I'm able to get down there and do push-ups with them. We always do a push-up challenge during band camp, and I tell the students, however many you have assigned to the students, to your individual sections, I'm going to do that and add it all together at the end of the day, and then I'm going to do all those for you. So, and I'll end up doing, you know, 100 to 200 push-ups, you know, because they can't stand at attention, you know, or they don't know how to march on step. But it shows them that I'm there, I'm willing to be dedicated to making them the best they can be by continuing to improve my own self. I had a band director I taught with in Mooresville. He was an avid golfer. And I asked him one time, I said, why do you enjoy golfing so much? It's like music. You can never exactly perfect your game, but you can get really close. And so he used that as an example. And so that's how I use fitness in the classroom. Like, you're never going to be completely satisfied with how you look. You can always make improvements. Just like a musician, you're never going to be completely satisfied with how you play, but you can always make improvements. And that seems to help the students understand that it's a continual process. You continue to grow as a human being and as a musician, and they like the process now even more than they like the product, which, you know, is part of teaching. You know, they need to understand that the process is 80 to 90% of what they do. So, and that, you know, the product or the performance is just, you know, just a drop in the hat as to everything else that's been going on, you know. And I think with that, they understand, okay, this is cool. What we're doing here is making a difference. So, and, you know, that helps me to connect with them even more.
Man, I hope everybody that's listening will stop, rewind the tape, and listen to the last 2 minutes again. Because, Ian, that was like, that was fantastic. And yeah. And band directors get so fixated on product and trophy and performance. And that's, like you said, that's not what we do. What we do is learn a show and practice it together and get better together.
Right. A good conductor is a good rehearser, not a good performer.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the process. I love that you just described that so clearly. That was great.
Really, really, really finely done.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, good. Man.
All right. Follow that up, Tyler.
I know.
I mean, really, I'm just going to echo the same thing. You know, I mean, for me, it's a lot about, relatability. There's that. But, you know, but first and foremost, you know, it helps me get my mind right. I'm a tree with many branches. If you talk to me more and you just ask me 9,000 questions, that those branches just grow. but first and foremost, I think it helps me to kind of stay like mentally honed in first and foremost, because my students deserve that from me. You know, they deserve, me not, like being the mad scientist type where like I'm just in the clouds and like not there. So, first and foremost, it puts me in a better place mentally and physically, to better assist my students. But it's also, I spend more of my time at a middle school. But, another thing too, and this kind of goes back to when I was also a private lesson teacher. I always wanted to relate to the students that I taught. We're teaching in a small town. We have a big band program at the middle school. I mean, it's 230 some odd kids, I think. 220, 230 kids, 6th through 8th grade. And a lot of those kids play sports. And, as we've kind of brought up boys and their, and imagery and things like that, I think I kind of get those kids to connect one-on-one with, whenever they see that, I take care of myself and that I'm getting stronger and, things like I can relate to them not only musically, but in their other interests as well. So I can kind of pull them into my interests, which are musical.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways.
Wow. This is great. I got the right people on the line tonight, Matt. I'm impressed with you guys. I'm loving that. What about you, Matt? And you've already talked about your classroom in the college is sort of a different situation, but exercising.
Well, here's one thing. I think being a musicologist, you teach the music majors, but you are also charged with teaching the non-majors, right? The music appreciation courses or those funny sounding, those things that what they think they're getting into is an easy A, but they're sadly mistaken is when I get
not in your class.
No. But I think what it does is exactly what both Ian and Tyler said is that, especially for the non-music major, college undergraduate, these people are probably, I think, more aware and more focused on physicality than they will be at any other time in their life. So it does, I think, helps you to connect in some way, and they don't see you as this sort of odd bird, as Tyler said, this sort of in the clouds musician that's talking above their head and doesn't, has no idea what their life is like. I think they see me as another human being, as someone who can function in society and devote his life to scholarship.
Well, yeah, and like they both talked about, like being a real person. Like I think that this physicality that they're bringing does, it's a whole, they're more than just a band director.
Yeah.
Like they're seen as more of a real person.
I often wonder if I do think of this sometimes, is if those kids that do connect with me are we connecting on the achievement of this or is there some way they're connecting on a shared insecurity? In some way,
But you know what the point is, you're connected.
You are. And that's, I think that is a very good point because, those are profound ways to connect as well. It does help, I think. But again, I often try to be cognizant and very careful, to stress it's about health and exercise and not about a look, even though that's You know, usually the most obvious manifestation of it.
Well, the look is a great byproduct. Yeah, it is a great byproduct.
I've seen in the last 10 or 15 years, what I find is a frightening shift almost, especially among the young men. And Ian, you've been teaching for a long time, so maybe you can speak to this too. But they are so finely and acutely aware of physicality in a way that they weren't 15 years ago, and certainly in a way that they weren't when I was in high school. Do you find that's true, Ian?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Ian, mm-hmm. I work with band directors all over the country in the work that I do, and I often, because they know I'm a gym guy, I'm a bodybuilder, a fitness personal trainer, all that, so because they know that, I get a lot of questions about, I want to help my students get in shape for the season. What should we do? Mm. Or whatever. So I was wondering, because you have this knowledge and this sort of background in the gym and exercising and fitness, what do you do? Like, how does that manifest in teaching your students about their fitness and getting them ready for the rigors of a marching band season?
you know, it's so funny because as you were asking this question, I was like, oh God, because I love my students to death, but they would rather sit and play Xbox all day long. You know, and I have roommates that would rather sit and play Xbox all day long and, you know, and PlayStation. So basically what I do is we do a run club in the summer. Running is not one of my favorite things to do, but we do a run club just so that students are outside doing something, you know, and not sitting on the couch and vegging all summer. When I do warm-ups in the morning, I do this whole, it's kind of ridiculous, but whatever. I put together music and I make tracks of it, kind of like you would do like a class at a gym, mm-hmm. where like a body pump class or something like that, where this track is push-ups and this track is jumping jacks and this track is whatever, you know. And I'll do that on my Mac, where I'll just put together playlists, and they know that different songs mean different things, and we're going to, you know, work out to the tempo of that, which actually ends up helping when we start doing tempo and marching, because I'm like, we're doing everything in a tempo, so and they understand how their body is supposed to move in tempo, so that's kind of cool too. But but I use a lot of that, you know, like, and it's changed ever since I taught. Ever since I was an assistant up in Mooresville, it's changed ever so often, just because I do more stretching now than I used to, and I do yoga poses with them, and I never used to do yoga poses because I hated yoga, I do things like that, and the other band director is an avid yoga person, and she loves doing cardio, so you know, I've added more cardio stuff in and not just strength training things, and we'll, you know, I change up the way we do our push-ups, or I change up the way we do things just so that they understand that their body's adapting differently to how they're holding the instrument. And that's actually helped me out a lot. But you know, just like with any other high school student, they kind of scoff at it at first, like, what are you doing, why are you making me do this? But then when you explain to them, this is going to help you get better at doing this, they most of the time they'll just jump on board and be like, fine, we'll do it, you know. So
well, yeah. And your enthusiasm is going to be contagious. That's part of it too. I think that it's very easy for you to get them excited about it because you're naturally excited about it already.
Right, exactly.
I mean, really, I think I think that's a huge thing. Tyler, don't you see that?
Yeah. I think energy is, you know, one of those things that kind of transfers.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're excited about something, they'll eventually get excited about it.
Yeah, and Tyler, I mean, Ian, I think your idea of doing the music is brilliant. We are musicians. We respond to music. And I tell you what, you want to see a color guard get turned on at a rehearsal? Do drop spins to a Madonna tune. Mm. Okay, I'm dating myself again.
Okay, edit.
You know, put
a Madonna tune?
Wait, Madonna's still relevant. Is she still relevant?
I don't know.
No. What should I have said? I can't even think of who to say. Katy Perry?
Glenn Miller?
Oh, I am not that old. All right, no. All right, Katy Perry tune?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, you're asking me. Moving on. Tyler, what do you ever get people asking you, how do you get your band in shape? Tell us a little bit of what you guys do too. What would you tell somebody?
Well, we don't really do a whole lot as far as physical fitness stuff goes, me being kind of the low guy on the totem pole, I'm kind of fitting myself into the program still. It's 2 years, I'm still kind of fitting in. I mean, it's a successful program. They've been to state finals, six out of the past 8 years. We're looking at having one of the larger, largest groups and one of the more talented groups that we've had in years, and so it's, you don't really want to mess with it. Why reinvent the wheel if it's, if it's working? Right. I try to interject things here and there, like, whenever we do, warm up block or something like that, whenever they do the stretches and, they do the, the obligatory, lap around, around the field, we have a little light post, that extended beyond, what would be the end zone. And, I kind of had a mantra last year of, what is the one little thing extra that you're going to do every time, to set yourself apart, And so I was like, I like that light post. So everybody go out and run around the light post instead of, stopping short of it. So I extended their lap a little bit, just little things like that, that I try to interject. It's not like any kind of regimen or anything like that. Maybe one day I can fit that in, somehow, but, I at least try to take the idea of trying to get a little bit better each time. What are you going to do to set yourself apart? I try to bring that to the table.
Yeah. Very good. All right.
Makes sense. Yes. Absolutely.
So is there anything about this topic before we finish here that we haven't talked about or that somebody hasn't said, like, because there's so much that we could talk about, the discipline and the tie-in to the discipline of playing. We've touched on these things. So let's just go around and see, does anybody have anything else about this that they would like to say? I'll start with you, Matt. Is there anything else about this topic that you think we should mention? There's been a lot of good information shared.
I would say if anyone's still listening, they got this far. Good for you. If you're on your treadmill, you're probably close to done. Just go to a gym, ask somebody questions. Don't be afraid to ask people questions. They won't think of you as a bother. Be curious. And just go. If what is keeping you out is the same as what was keeping me out, which was a little bit of intimidation and not knowing my way around, not knowing what the hell I was doing, don't let that stop you. Just walk in and ask questions and do it. It's made an enormous impact on my life. And I cannot imagine what I would be doing or what my health would be right now as I near 40 had I not gotten into working out. I really probably would have been very, very different and very poor.
And of course, Ian mentioned the nutrition and too. And that's the other thing too. I have these band directors who, don't eat.
Yeah, you can.
Or they eat terrible things. Right. So anyway, that's a whole another podcast probably about that topic. But that's good advice. And I'll also tell people, it doesn't have to be the gym. Find something you like to do. Go bicycling. I have friends that play tennis religiously. Like whatever it is, be active, move your body, whatever. If you can do some resistance training, all the better. Okay, how about you, Tyler? Anything else you want to tell people before we go?
Yeah, one thing that I believe that sets a lot of band directors, at least, in our profession, teaching, what sets band directors apart, I think, from any other teaching profession, not to knock them all, because they all have their, they all bring great things to the table, is how resourceful we have to be. We set our own curriculum, we design, our own units, so to speak. We have like a real firm grasp on how we want to do things, and we go out and we find the resources to do that. I think, it can be beneficial to use that resourcefulness. There's so many sources out there now. On my iPad, as much as I have music apps on here, I have fitness apps on here. I have like just to do any kinds of things, to do burpees, to do, tons of body weight exercises, to learn about different things. If there's any band director that, they listen to this and they're like, well, how do I get started? It's like, well, do what you do best, be resourceful, find the literature, find apps, follow something, find a program that fits you and get started. Really.
Yeah. Great advice. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. All right. How about you, Ian? I'm going to give you the last word, man. Anything else you want to tell people or you want to say?
I feel like I've said so many words already. My best advice to anybody who is a band director is honestly just change one thing at a time. You know, a change instead of eating out on Tuesday nights after marching band practice, make your food in the morning or make it the night before. Instead of driving over to your, you know, middle school, if you teach between a middle high school, walk to your middle school if it's close enough, you know. Just do one thing fitness wise at a time and don't jump all in at the same time. Cause if you do that, then after a week, you're not going to want to do it again. So just do one thing at a time and eventually the lifestyle will change itself and you'll see yourself making those small improvements. It's the same thing we tell our students every single day. You know, we don't want you to change the entire marching show in one rehearsal. We want you to make one improvement so that you're 100% successful every single time. So, and if you do that, if you'll do that, and if band directors will do that, then we'll go from this culture of kind of, you know, overweight and obese and that sort of thing to in shape, you know. And it doesn't have to be muscular on the stage, physique, bodybuilding. It just has to be, I feel good about my life, you know.
That's great.
Yeah. And we're an example to our students. That's exactly what you're saying. Yep. Wow. Well, absolutely. You guys, I want you to know, I'm really impressed with you. Like, I think you're saying great things. You're doing great things. I'm glad that you are out there representing band directors and what's possible. And I can't thank you enough for being a part of this conversation. You guys were just terrific.
Yeah, you're both very impressive.
Well, I'm very honored you asked me. So thank you so much, Tim. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was excited about this. Thank you for asking me to do this.
Well, thank you so much, guys.
Okay, everybody, hit the gym or find some activity you love to do and get moving. It will improve your health, your life, and your career. Thanks again to our sponsor, the Marching Roundtable Judges Academy, found at judgesacademy.com. Thanks to our editor, Aaron Osborne. And thanks again to Ian, Tyler, and Matt for joining us. And thanks to you for listening. If you're a business that works with band directors, marching bands, color guards, or drum lines, you should consider sponsoring an episode of the Marching Roundtable. Our listeners are the exact audience you're trying to reach, and with thousands of podcast downloads each month, it's a great way to directly reach your target audience. For more information, click on the Sponsorship Opportunities link at marchingroundtable.com or email Tim at tim@marchingroundtable.com. You can grow your business and help support what we're doing here on the podcast. Thanks.